Hi, I'm Jay Baer from Convince and Convert, and you are listening to the Social Media Talks podcast with Alan Hennessy from compassmedia.ie.
Welcome to Social Media Talks podcasts, brought to you by compassmedia.ie.
Hello and thank you for joining me. This is the Social Media Talks podcast, brought to you by compassmedia.ie, episode number 56. And the Social Media Talks podcast is sponsored by Content Cal, creating a solution to simplify and speed up how teams can plan, collaborate on, approve, publish, and analyze social media content in a familiar and intuitive calendar interface. In just 2 years, they have now trusted by over 10,000 companies and agencies in 110 countries to deliver social media content at scale. And for more information, visit their website at contentcal.io. Beautifully simple social media software. And the Social Media Talks podcast is proudly supported by charityradio.ie, one of Ireland's leading online radio stations, supporting charities across Ireland for free. I'm your host, Alan Hennessy, and this is the podcast to help business owners who want to learn more about social media marketing. And if you'd like to listen to any of our previous podcasts, you can log on to our website at compassmedia.ie/podcasts. You can also join our Facebook group by logging on to facebook.com/groups/social media talks. And we are looking forward to today's show. Well, I know I am. This is a man that I have admired for many, many years. And today we are talking to Jay Baer. And Jay is one of fewer than 200 living members of the Professional Speakers Hall of Fame. He's an experienced pro, having given hundreds of insightful, humorous presentations worldwide, a renowned business strategist, also a New York Times best-selling author of 6 books, an advisor to more than 700 companies since 1994, including Caterpillar, Nike, and the United Nations, and 32 of the Fortune 500 companies. He's an entrepreneurial success story, having started 5 multi-million dollar businesses from scratch. He's also the founder of Convince and Convert, a digital strategy consulting firm that helps prominent businesses gain and more customers. A media brand, Jay's Convince and Convert Media Division runs the world's number one content marketing blog, multiple podcasts, and many other educational resources for business owners and executives. He's also the host of the popular Social Pros podcast, named as the best marketing podcast in 2015 by Content Marketing Awards. And today we are going to be talking to Jay all about his new book called Talk Triggers. And we're also going to be learning all about how word of mouth marketing can really effectify and increase your business. So without further ado, I think we will transition straight over to the interview with Jay. Hi Jay, how are you today? Thanks for coming on the Social Media Talks podcast. I have been dying to get you onto the podcast, and I'm really looking forward to this. I'm a big fan. I'm geeking out a bit here at this stage of the game.
And I appreciate it. I'm delighted to be here. We're going to do some social media talking.
You want to give us a little bit of a brief introduction to yourself?
I am Jay Baer. I'm the founder of a consulting firm called Convince and Convert. We work with companies and organizations on social media strategy, content marketing strategy, word of mouth strategy. I'm located in Indiana in the States. I've got team members all over the place. We also have a large blog at convinceconvert.com, a series of podcasts, including the Social Pros podcast. I've written a number of books, 6 books now, and I spend a lot of my time traveling around giving presentations and speeches all over the world.
Brilliant stuff. And of course, today we are going to be talking about your new book, Talk Triggers, The Complete Guide to Creating Customers, Word of Mouth, and yourself, which you wrote with Daniel Lemon as well. So really, really looking forward to talking all about this. It sounds so exciting. And I think it's a huge topic, you know, especially when it comes to word of mouth marketing. It's so vitally important, I think.
Oh, it's actually more important than we think in many cases. The data shows that between 50 and 91% of all purchases are influenced by word of mouth. Mm. So a lot of your business success, regardless of your business, is driven by word of mouth. And I think we know that to be true intuitively. Like, you're like, yeah, that probably makes sense. Mm. But what's strange about it, Alan, is that nobody has a word of mouth strategy, right? So you probably have a marketing strategy. You might have a social media strategy. If you're listening to this show, you probably do. You might have a content marketing strategy. You might have a public relations strategy. You might have a hiring strategy, a sales strategy. You get all these strategies. You get a whole desk full of strategies. But nobody has a word of mouth strategy. It's so incredibly important, but we just take it for granted. We just assume that our customers will talk about us, and we just assume that they will say nice things about us. But why do we think that? Like, if we don't give somebody something to say, if we don't give them a story to tell, why would they tell? And this is why social media is so important. I mean, all social media really is word of mouth on a computer. Yeah. Like, that's it. Like, that's the game, right? So one of the changes in the last 10 years or so, I think, frankly, one of the mistakes is that businesses have, in many cases, come to believe that social media equals word of mouth, that you don't need a word of mouth strategy because you're good on Twitter or whatever. And that's not true. Social media is just a way to tell a word of mouth story, right? So we've put so much emphasis now on the tools and the tactics and Facebook and Twitter and WhatsApp and WeChat and Instagram and LinkedIn that we've kind of lost the focus on, well, what is the story that we want these customers to tell one another? And that's why we wrote the book, to help people kind of figure out their story, give customers something to talk about.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. I think, you know, I think that especially over the last number of years is that, you know, people have sort of they've stopped talking, and they've started to just say, oh, well, I can just get my message out on social media, and they think that should be the be all and the end all of them. And when, like, you know, at the end of the day, people buy from people. They don't buy from machines. So they're only a vehicle to get us to that stage, I suppose, as much as anything else. So I see where your point is with that. And I do agree that it's, you know, social media is a tool for getting your message out there, and it amplifies it and you reach audiences. But at the end of the day, people are going to ring you, or they're going to talk to you, or your customers are going to come and they're going to say, well, I had a good chat with Jay or a good chat with Alan, and, you know, definitely a nice guy to do business with. And that works, I think, 10 times, maybe even 100 times, 1,000 times more than it does with a social media post.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. The research indicates that about 50% of all word of mouth happens offline, right? So face to face, telephone call. I think if I recall correctly, this study classifies email as offline, even though obviously it's online. Mm. About half is offline, and about half of social, and about half of word of mouth is kind of social media or reviews. So a Yelp review, a TripAdvisor review, that kind of thing, right? So it's about 50-50, what we would consider to be kind of offline versus online. But to your point, Alan, the research that we recently conducted shows that the persuasiveness, the effectiveness, the impact, if you will, of the offline word of mouth is definitely higher than online. Like if you and I are having a chat like we are now, and I say, you know what you ought to do? You ought to buy this piece of software. That has more power than you just seeing a Twitter post from me about that same software. It's just the nature of kind of intimacy and closeness and relationships. So, you know, you need both, right? I would never suggest that you can only do social, and I would never suggest that you can only do offline word of mouth. You really need to think of them as two sides of the same strategy.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that, because, like, you look at it and you do say, you know, like, it has to be, like, there was a time where people were saying, oh, yeah, you know, your traditional marketing is what works, and that's what works. And then all of a sudden, with the invention of social media, that everyone started saying, oh, no, social, your digital works more so than your traditional. And I've always had a big hang up with that, because I think it has to be a mix of both. But yet again, as you say, if there's a piece of software and you talk to me and say, Alan, you should have a look at this, I am definitely going to be more inclined to actually go and look at that. And it's the same, I think, with everything that we do in life, that, you know, when someone gives you a recommendation or, you know, gives you a heads up on something, that you're going to actually start looking more so at that than you would than just, you know, searching online for it.
Especially we find in our new project, we did a research project, and I'll make sure you get a copy of it and put it in the show notes, that is not in the book, but it's sort of a companion to the book. It's called Chatter Matters, the 2018 Word of Mouth Report. It's a very, very large study on the impact of word of mouth. And what we found in that report is that the larger the purchase, right? So the larger the number of dollars or pounds or euros that are at stake, the more likely you are to rely on people that you actually know.
Yeah.
Because there's a risk quotient there, right? You're like, man, like, for example, for weddings, right? So when planning a wedding, people are 331% more likely to seek out the opinions of friends and family as opposed to other sources of information, right? Because you don't want to blow it, right? You get one crack, or in some cases two or three cracks, or four or five for some people. But in theory, you get one crack at it, and so you want to make sure it goes well. And so in those kind of situations, when the stakes are highest, you rely not on a computer, you rely on people that you actually know.
And I can see that. I can see that as well. But, you know, as you say, like a wedding, it's the big one, you know. And if you mess that up, well, you know,
you got to live with it for a long time, probably. Yeah,
and you probably have to take the grief as well with it as well.
Although I will tell you this, there should be some research on, I should do this project. I have to think how I'd structure this research. We do a lot of research at Convince and Convert, and this might be one to tackle somehow. Probably doesn't make any difference, but my personal, this is only me. My personal observation, Alan, is that the worst weddings I've been to, where like something bad happened, like I went to a wedding once and my buddy got married to this gal that nobody liked. And during the wedding, the wedding cake fell off the table and on the ground. So like, we're like, what? No cake, you know. And then somebody got pushed in a swimming pool. It was really not the best wedding. And of course, they were divorced like 4 months later, right? So here's my research project: is how bad is the wedding versus how long do they stay married? I'm almost positive there's a relationship there. I want to study that just to see if that holds true.
Maybe there was an omen, I suppose, when the cake fell off the ground.
We all kind of looked around at each other and thought, yeah, that's probably a bad sign.
Yeah, there's bigger. There's bigger signs here.
Right.
You know, and then, so talking about the book, you know, there's a huge amount of content in it. And I was just looking at it, I was looking at the preview of it, and you were talking about the Cheesecake Factory and the way that they market. And, you know, I think if you'd like to sort of, you know, give us a little bit more detail on that. But I thought that was a fascinating story, the way you actually told it. That
here's the problem that we have in business. We believe in many cases that competency creates conversation, that the way to trigger word of mouth is to just be a good business, whatever that means in your world, right? You have good food, you're a good consultant, whatever the case may be. But people don't talk about good, right? They talk about something that they don't expect. So like, I don't know all of your listeners. I probably know some of them, but I know this for sure. Nobody listening has ever said, let me tell you about this perfectly adequate experience I just had.
Yeah.
Because that's a terrible story, right? That's not interesting. It was like, oh, let me pull up a chair to listen to this. Like that doesn't happen, right? So it partially this is how we're wired as human beings, right? In that we are wired to notice and discuss things that we find different and ignore things that we find average. So the title of the book, as you mentioned, is Talk Triggers. And a talk trigger is a strategic operational choice that you make in your business to compel conversations. When you do this right, word of mouth becomes involuntary. Your customers simply cannot help themselves. They have to tell somebody else about this thing that you do differently. You mentioned the Cheesecake Factory restaurant, which is a growing chain of large restaurants, mostly in the States. There's one in Canada, there's a few others. And their talk trigger, their operational difference, the thing that they do that other people don't do, is their menu is enormous. Their menu is 5,940 words long.
Wow.
The book Talk Triggers is like 53,000 words long, right? So this restaurant's menu is like 13% of a business book, which is long. They make chicken 85 different ways, 85, which is a lot. Like if I said, hey, here's a contest, all listeners write down as many ways as you can think of to make chicken. Nobody's going to get more than 20, right? Exactly, yeah. 85 is pretty crazy, right? And what happens is, you know, imagine being a waiter at that restaurant. Like, are you guys ready to order? No, we are definitely not ready to order yet. Like, lunch takes like 5 hours.
Yeah, come back to me about 8 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we would come in for lunch, but we eat at dinner. So, then we get ready. So if you go on social media, you go on Twitter or any of the review sites, TripAdvisor, Yelp, any of that kind of stuff, and you look for Cheesecake Factory Plus menu, you'll see all of these different comments about the menu. Like my favorite one is somebody put on Twitter, we're reading the Cheesecake Factory menu at my book club, which I thought was very funny. That's a good one. That's a pretty good one. And somebody else said, my mom just told me she wants to go have lunch at the giant menu. And I think she meant the Cheesecake Factory. So the Cheesecake Factory restaurant spends 5 times less on advertising than any other restaurant in their competitive set. So other restaurants in their space, they don't advertise. Cheesecake Factory advertises almost not at all because the menu is the advertising. People talk about it and the customers are the marketing plan. Now, I know this is true, right? Because I see it in social and I've had people talk about it. I've told people about this menu. But when I write books, I don't want any of my books to be, Jay says, do this thing. Yeah. So every time I write a book, we do a lot of first party research. We spend a lot of time and money to validate our assumptions. So in this book, we did 4 separate research projects. And one of the projects was Daniel Lemon, my co-author, and I surveyed hundreds and hundreds of Cheesecake Factory customers. And we found, Alan, that 38% of them have told somebody else specifically about the menu size in the last 30 days. Now, this is a restaurant that serves tens of thousands of customers every single day. And 4 out of 10 of them are talking about this one differentiator.
Yeah.
That's how you can grow a business without spending a bunch of money on advertising. That's their talk trigger.
Yeah. And it's amazing. And like that, yeah, they don't even have to do anything. It's already done. All right, they have to obviously have the menus and whatever, but at the same token.
It's not easy. It's not easy to make chicken 85 different ways. But what's interesting about word of mouth, right? At least the word of mouth as we think about it in this book, it's not really marketing.
Yeah.
It's operations that create a marketing advantage, right? It's not a campaign. It's not a coupon. It's not an ad. It's not a promotion. It's not a contest. It's just something that they do every day. That's just what they are. That's how they do it. I'll give you another example. This one's not in the book. I'll give you one that's special for you. I learned about this the other day. I was given a presentation, and this happens all the time now, which is tremendous. I give a talk about this book and word of mouth, and people come up to me afterwards like, oh, do you know about this story? Do you know about that story? It's great. So I'm always getting new ones. I want to write another book now with the next batch that I've learned about.
The second
so
generation.
This one is from, 2.0. This one's from Seattle, Washington. So a guy comes up to me after my talk in Seattle a few weeks ago, goes, hey, do you know this story? And I'm like, I don't think so. I don't have any stories from Seattle. He's like, well, there's a physician here in town. He's a surgeon and he only does the vasectomy surgery. So you call it there in Ireland, the vasectomy surgery?
Yeah.
Make sure there's no weird Irish term for it. I don't know. Like,
no, it's the same. Vasectomy. It's the same all over the world, I think.
Okay, just check it. The vasectomy surgery where you're no longer able to have children. Well, his name is Dr. Snip. Now, that's pretty great, right? that from Jump Street's pretty good, but that's not actually the talk trigger. On the way out the door, they give every patient an engraved silver pocket knife that says on it, Dr. Snip, vasectomy surgeon. So you can imagine you're with your mates at the pub and you're watching football and you're hanging out or you're playing some golf or, you know, and you open a beer or something with your knife and your friend's like, bro, that's a sweet knife. Where'd you get it? Like, where'd I get it? I got it from Dr. Snip, the vasectomy surgeon. Like, oh, that's amazing, right? I'm thinking about a vasectomy, right? So, I mean, that is just an extraordinary example of just doing one little thing different in your operation that customers are definitely going to notice, they're definitely going to talk about, and it's definitely going to get them new customers down the road. Because look, this is the fundamental truth, Alan. The best way to grow any business, like, and I mean any business, I don't care if you walk dogs or you're IBM, anything in between. The best way to grow any business is to have your customers grow it for you.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, you have to give them a story to tell. And the story can't be, we're good, because that's a crappy story.
Yeah, because everyone can be good. You have to be something that's...
Well, that's it. Most of your competition is good too, right? Or they wouldn't be in business.
Yeah, exactly. So you need to have some. And then the other side of that is then you're lessening the workload for yourself, because people are talking about you, so are talking about your business, and they're doing your advertising for you. They're actually getting more word out there. And the likelihood is we can sit here and we can create all these, you know, advertisements, whether it be online or offline. But as you say, it's when people talk to people that people take notice of it. And when they take notice of it, then, of course, they're going to say, well, wait, let's try it out ourselves. And that's how, you know, it goes, and it just keeps going and keeps going. It's a never-ending street.
Yeah, absolutely. So true. And that's when you do it right, that's the way it works. So one of the examples in the book is from the Doubletree hotel chain. Which is a Hilton brand, and Doubletree has locations all around the world, most in the States, of course, but they're all over. Their talk trigger is that when you check into the hotel, they give each person a warm chocolate chip cookie. And they've been doing this every day for 30 years. So if you get a good talk trigger that really works for you, you can continue to, you know, this isn't something you do for, you know, October. This is something you can do forever in theory. Sometimes it doesn't work. So another hotel example, the Westin hotel chain, they rolled out a thing, geez, I don't know, it was probably 8 years ago at least now. Mm-hmm. They rolled out this idea called the Heavenly Bed. And the premise was that they were going to have the most comfortable beds of any hotel. I'm like, wow, that sounds pretty great. I'd like to have a comfortable bed. Well, all the other hotels are like, that's a pretty good idea. So then Marriott came out with their own version, and Hilton came out with their whole version, and Radisson Blue came out with their whole version. And so it didn't work as a talk trigger because all the competition matched it. So that's one of the things, right? Like we talked about, we discuss things that are different. We ignore things that are average. If you do something and everybody else ends up doing it too, you can't, it doesn't work anymore. So you got to come up with something new. Like two-way shipping is a perfect example, right? You know, Zappos, the e-commerce company, was one of the first organizations, certainly in the US, to offer free shipping both ways. So you buy shoes, if the shoes don't fit, you send them back, we'll pay for you to send them back. That's pretty great. And when they started that several years ago, people were like, wow, that is amazing. Like, I've never heard of such a thing. That is crazy. And that was their talk trigger. And they had that for, you know, I would say 2 years, that, you know, they had it almost to themselves, and it really was a great talk trigger. But now, at least here on the e-commerce side, almost every company offers free two-way shipping, because you have to, right? If everybody else is doing it, and you can't be like, well, we don't do that. So then you no longer, so sometimes you get lucky and you can run the same word of mouth strategy for 30 years, and sometimes you can run it for 2 years. You don't know.
Yeah, so there is, depending on what you're doing, there is a shelf life to it, obviously, yeah. And I can see that as well. You know, like when you're talking about that, is like, what would be some of, like, we would have a lot of small and medium-sized businesses that would listen to this, and entrepreneurs that would listen to us. What would be, like, you know, ideas or, you know, to get them...
Get yourself a pocket knife. No, here's...
Get yourself a vasectomy. No.
It can be so simple. So one of my favorite small business... I'll give you two small business examples. Mm. One from another physician. Most doctors are terrible at talk triggers, but I've got two good examples. There's a doctor in Connecticut, which is kind of outside New York City there. And so he's sort of suburban New York City, and he is an oral surgeon. He does like wisdom teeth extractions and all that. And there are hundreds, literally hundreds of oral surgeons kind of in that general vicinity, very populated area of the States. He is the highest rated of all of them. Mm. Despite the fact that by his own admission, he is not the best surgeon. He said to me, Jay, I'm good, but I'm not the best. But I have the best relationship with my patients. And here's why. He's got an incredible talk trigger. Every Friday, his staff gives him a list of names and phone numbers. And then on Saturday, he telephones all those people. And he says, hi, I'm Glenn. I'm your oral surgeon. I understand from my staff that you're coming in to the office for the first time next week. before you get here, do you have any questions? And people simply can't believe it, because maybe you've been contacted by a doctor or a surgeon after a procedure, but you've never been contacted by a doctor before you ever set foot in the office. It's simply not done. But why isn't it? It develops such a strong bond from the beginning. And Glenn tells me, Glenn Gorab, he tells me that every day, every single day, somebody calls and says, I have to drive 12 miles out of my way. I have to pass up a bunch of other oral surgeons to get to your office. But I want to visit you because you're the doctor who called my friend Shirley before she ever came to the office.
Yeah.
Right? It creates this word of mouth advantage for him. And literally anybody in professional services can do that, right? Anybody, consultant, doctor, lawyer, accountant, any of those kind of professions, you could do that kind of an idea, but yet nobody does for some reason.
And it's going the extra mile as well because people like that, you know?
But it's not that hard, right? You're talking about simple. 20 minutes, 20, 30 minutes every Saturday. You know, like you definitely have time to do that. You just choose not to. My other favorite example, and this is what I talk about all the time because I think it's a really nice way to understand the talk triggers concept, is there's a restaurant in Northern California called Skip's Kitchen. And it's very simple, counter service. So you walk up to the window and you place your order. And when your food's ready, they bring it out to your table. They specialize in hamburgers. Skip's is 10 years old. They have never spent any money at all on advertising. They've never bought a single ad. They have a line to get in almost every day, and they were just named the 29th best hamburger restaurant in the United States by USA Today newspaper, which is the largest newspaper in the country. Mm. That's possible only because of their talk trigger. You place your order. You say, I would like two cheeseburgers and fries and a beer. And then before you pay, either credit card or cash, the person working the counter says, Alan, let's do something here, okay? And they pull out a deck of playing cards from under the counter. And they fan the cards out face down in front of you. And they say, Alan, pick a card. And you pick a card. And if you get a joker, your entire meal is free, whether you've ordered for just yourself or a whole group of friends. Now, on average, three people a day win this game. Mm. And when they win, they go crazy, right? Yeah. They're putting, you know, cheeseburger selfies on Instagram, and they're calling their mom, and they're leaving all kinds of reviews, and a band shows up and plays a song. It's really quite spectacular. and it just, everybody gets all excited about it. And in this town, Sacramento, there's a sign out front of this business, big neon sign, says Skip's Kitchen. Like, it's unmistakable. It's a big sign. But in Sacramento, everybody calls it that Joker restaurant.
Very good. Very good.
Now, how easy is that? Like, anybody could do that.
Yeah.
But nobody does, because we take word of mouth for granted.
Yeah. And that's the thing, and that's what's coming through here when you talk about that is that people take, you know, oh, it's taken for granted. Oh, well, sure, look, they'll talk about it, instead of actually going and promoting it and just saying, well, look, here's something different that we're doing that, you know, that no one else is doing. And as you say, it can be as simple as that. You know, like, even like, just as you say, a phone call. Talk to the person and say, right, okay, what's your concerns? And like, we've done work with a number of businesses where we've said, like, what is it that, you know, is going to add value? What is it that's going to make you step out? And they say, oh, well, it's the service I provide. And I says, yeah, but everyone provides that service. It's about what else can you do? And then there was one particular guy, and he did do something extra, and his business grew exponentially. Literally, all he'd done was literally just ring the people, and he was able to tell, like, they were saying he was a locksmith, and what he was talking about was, is they were saying, oh, well, like, what he found was that most people would ring up and say, oh, I need to get my locks changed. And he'll say, what type of locks? And he says, okay. So he actually was able to send, he had a video, and they were able to send a video to him. And then what he done was, is from that,
oh, nice,
he was able to turn around and say, oh, this is the lock what you're talking about. Well, we can do this, this, and this. And because you've done it on video, and because you sent me the video, here we go. It's actually we're going to give it to you for 20% less.
And, oh, I love that.
And it just worked, because it was just a simple little app that he done. He got an app created, and he was able to send it to them, and bang, and that was it. And it worked. And I find that, like, it's that going that extra mile and giving that person that extra thing. And it can be as simple as not even creating an app, as in, like, just saying, you know, being personal with that people. That's how I've built my business, is by being personal. When it comes to people and they ask me about a question on social or whatever it may be, they'll say, I can, oh, and I always get the, you know, always hearing it back from people saying, oh, when you deal with Alan, you get so, he gets so personal, he's able to, you know, help you, and you don't feel at all intimidated or, you know, problem. And that's, I think, is the key to it as well. And that's what I've always, that has been the ethos of what I've built on the business.
And the nice thing about social is that when these talk triggers work, especially for consumer companies, it's a little bit less true for B2B, but for consumer companies in particular, when you have a talk trigger that works, you'll see evidence of it in social, right? Your customers will tweet about it, they'll put it on Facebook, they'll put it on Instagram. You know, you'll start to see it working. And so we talk a lot about social media monitoring in the book, and how to use social media to not only measure the effectiveness of your talk triggers, but test them as well. So to say, okay, here's one that we might roll out, let's roll it out to a part of the customers and see whether they're talking about it in social media. And then the other thing that we talk about a lot in the book is the importance of amplifying your trigger. So yes, of course, if you do it well, the customers will tell that story to each other over and over and over. But the better approach is to every once in a while just kind of nudge them, just kind of remind them about this special different thing that you do. So that's where social is a fantastic tool for this. We talked about DoubleTree Hotels and the cookie that they give everybody when they check in. If you go to their Twitter account and their Facebook page, every once in a while, they just sort of remind you that they have the cookie. So they'll like, hey, we've got a new recipe of how to use cookies, or we have a new thing for Christmas cookies, right? And so they're just sort of reinforcing their differentiator on occasion using social, which is a really smart way to do it.
I suppose your tips for social with doing that would be, that would be obviously one of them. In respect of, you know, how, as you say, amplifying it, and how, you know, when it comes to social media, I know you know so much about it. I've watched so many talks, I've listened to you talk about it so often. You know, the tips, what would you give, would be your big, you know, I suppose the big things that you would say to people for, you know, for getting social media working for them and for their businesses?
My tips change all the time just because the nature of the business changes all the time, but I would say a couple things. One, understand that anything your customers say in social is likely to be more powerful than anything you say in social, right? We trust each other a lot more than we trust businesses. So wherever possible, having your customers creating social content about your business is better than you creating content about your business. Right? That's why the Skip's Kitchen thing works so great. When somebody wins, they're taking pictures, they're creating content. It's not Skip's Kitchen saying, Alan won a free cheeseburger. It's the guy who won the cheeseburger saying, I won a free cheeseburger at Skip's Kitchen, which is much more powerful. So this whole idea of UGC and user-generated content in social is more important than ever. So I'd say that's tip one. Find a way to unlock content from your customers. Second thing is, in terms of content that you're creating in social for your own business, we have to stop random acts of content. What we do at our company is we say every business in social has to think like a television network and say, all right, what are we gonna, what's our show for Tuesday night? What's our show for Wednesday night? What's our show for Thursday night? Like, you have to think about this like a calendar. And that makes it a lot better than just like, okay, let's randomly like, oh, I feel like sending a tweet today. Like, that's not going to work. No. Okay. It has to be a system. And the third thing I would say, especially for small business owners, is don't forget that the things that you think are boring, your customers think are fascinating. Like, a lot of times, like, go back to the locksmith example. Locksmith has all this knowledge, right, about locks. What I would say is, okay, locksmith person, what I want you to do is twice a week, an Instagram video that explains, maybe Facebook as well, that explains how this particular kind of lock works and why you'd use this lock versus that lock. Now, most locksmiths would say, well, nobody's interested in that. That's what I know as a locksmith. I'm like, no, you don't get it. Your customers are fascinated by that stuff. So the problem in social right now is everybody wants to make a movie And what they should really be doing is making a documentary.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a very good point. Very good, very good point. It is, you know, like I think, as you say, it's adding that value. And it's as you say, sometimes the most mundane things that we take for granted. Like I know, for instance, if we're training and I'll say, oh, well, I use this particular program, or like even here, like we're recording this, obviously, and we're talking face to face on Zoom. And people, I'm used to that. I know what Zoom is, but there is people out there who say, well, what's Zoom? And it's only when you explain, they go, oh. So, and I think as marketers as well, and as business owners, we forget them things that we said, that the average person is actually going, oh, well, I'd love to know more about that. And that's where it works. I totally agree with it. It's brilliant. Jay, it's an absolute pleasure talking to you. I could sit here and talk all day. I'm fascinated by this subject as well. I can't wait for the book to come out. The book is called Talk Triggers, The Complete Guide to Creating Customers' Word of Mouth. And it's available now from all good bookshops and also on Amazon as well.
That's right. And if you go to talktriggers.com, there's all kinds of free stuff there. So there's infographics, there's discussion guides, there's PowerPoint presentations, there's videos, there's research. I mean, there's a lot of information there that you can grab for free.
Brilliant stuff. And Jay, at the end of every podcast here, that I always ask my guests a question, which is it's nothing to do with business, but it is just, it's a question that we like to ask. And it sort of is, what if you had the chance to invite someone to dinner, whether it be past or present, who would it be and why?
Somebody for dinner. I think I will go with, this is a little bit of a way back machine, but I would go, I think I'd go with Thomas Jefferson, famous American patriot president, but more so inventor. Thomas Jefferson was somebody who invented a ton of stuff and saw a lot of things that could be done better and invented ways to make it better, right? He was a person who was super incredibly curious about everything and would just say, oh, I don't understand that. I'm going to go figure it out. And somebody who always had like a million projects going at once. And so I admire that line of thinking and that ability to balance different projects and different priorities. So I think that'd be a good conversation.
Fabulous, fabulous. I'd say it would be a very interesting evening, all in all said. Jay, yeah. How can people reach out to you if they want to get in contact with you?
I'm Jay Baer on all the social networks. That's pretty easy to find. As I mentioned, talktriggers.com for the book, and our website is convinceandconvert.com. We have 4,500 blog posts or something like that that you can read. We have multiple podcasts, including Social Pros. We've got all kinds of videos, webinars, research projects, all that. So convinceandconvert.com is the best place.
Brilliant stuff. Brilliant stuff. Jay, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you today. And thanks so much for joining us today on the Social Media Talks podcast. And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot.
Get ready.
See you now. Bye-bye. So my thanks to Jay for coming on the podcast today and telling us all about the new book and giving us some fantastic lessons and insights and tips and tricks about how to create a customer word of mouth strategy for your business. And don't forget, if you do want to find out more about Jay Baer, you can visit his website at jaybaer.com. And if you want to find out more about the book and get loads of great, great content as well and bonus material, you can visit the website at talktriggers.com. And you can also buy the book on the website as well there. And definitely well worth a read. So once again, as I said, my thanks to Jay for coming on the podcast today. And don't forget, you can follow Jay on all of the social media platforms by just searching for Jay Baer. And if you'd like to listen to any of our previous podcasts, you can log on to our website at compassmedia.ie/podcasts. And you can find all of the podcasts also available on Mixcloud, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. And if you'd like to leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, we would be thrilled to receive your feedback on any of the podcasts as well. You can also subscribe there to the Social Media Talks podcast, so you never miss an episode either there. And if you'd like the show notes for this episode or for any of the previous episodes, you can log on to our website at compassmedia.ie/show notes. And if you'd like to be a guest on the podcast, please do get in contact with us. All you have to do is email us at smtalks@compassmedia.ie. And if you want to find out about the services that Compass Media provide, from social media marketing to training to management and to podcast services, you can visit our website as well to find out all the details there. You can also connect with me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn by just searching for either Alan Hennessy or for Compass Media. And the Social Media Talks podcast is sponsored by Content Cal, creating solutions to simplify and speed up how teams can plan, collaborate on, approve and publish and analyze social media content in a familiar, intuitive calendar interface. And for more information on Content Cal, you can visit their website at contentcal.io. And the Social Media Talks podcast is proudly supported by Charity Radio, one of Ireland's leading online radio stations, supporting charities in Ireland for free. I've been Alan Hennessy from Compass Media for the Social Media Talks podcast. And we are delighted to have your company each and every week. And that's about all for today. So on the next time we see you, have a great week and we'll talk to you soon. And as I always say, be social. On the next time. Bye-bye.
Social Media Talks podcast is a production from compassmedia.ie.